Let us first, I think I should congratulate you. You have been at the center of the financial sector transformation strategy. I know it's not only you, but you have been really at the center of that. And one of that aspect is financial inclusion by 2035. And realizing that we are at 86%, we are quite doing very well.
Yeah.
How did it goes, especially convincing financial institution and also other players in that industry? How did we get into 86, and what were other things that were involved before we go to the issue of gender?
Right.
Yeah.
So for us, let me just start by saying, having achieved an 86%, is a significant win for Namibia, especially given where we are coming from. We are coming from a 78%, from the last survey that we did in 2017, and it not only just confirms the deliberate policy efforts that we have put in from the first financial sector strategy of 2011 to 2021 that pursued financial inclusion as a key pillar, and there are quite significant achievements from that strategy to the new strategy that we are pursuing now that we've developed, the one that you just mentioned with very ambitious targets.
Yeah.
For financial inclusion at, by 2035.
Yeah.
So for us, it's giving us confidence that there's something that we are doing right.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact that in a lot of African countries, financial inclusion is largely driven by a large ecosystem of mobile money. And we are not even there yet. We are starting the mobile money conversations and we are still moving there. So you can just imagine what would happen, where our rate would be if we had a large active mobile money market. So for us, that means that there's something that Namibia is doing right from a policy point of view, but also our stakeholders, the financial institutions, have been quite deliberate, especially given after the GPF that we held last year, and with the awareness that we have been raising on the importance of financial inclusion, we've been seeing interesting products coming into the market, especially from the banking side. We've been seeing quite good momentum.
Yeah,
yeah. So you can just imagine what would happen once we have an active fintech market.
No, I see. And you also have a new role within within Alliance of, you know, financial inclusion, and I think congratulations again for that. Now, before I go to the aspect of gender, especially when women are outperforming men, and we have been beaten in a lot of sectors these days. Now, let's look at financial inclusion and also the change to the human lives. Yesterday there was a bit of a discussion to say yes, Namibia is moving very well.
Yeah.
Namibians have access to funds and all, I mean to financial finances, institutions.
Yeah.
But funds, they are not our friends. It seems like inequality is still persisting in Namibia.
Yeah.
It seems like more than 54% of Namibians, they you know, earn 2,000 and below.
Yeah.
And why is it like that? Why what is what how do we build that connection between financial inclusion and also upliftment of human lives?
That's a very, very important question, and it's one of the most attractive conversations when you bring financial inclusion on the table, right?
Yeah.
But I like to look at it this way. Financial inclusion is an enabler, right? It's what gets you into the door. But what you do once you are in the room, that's now where the economics come in, right? So when we talk about financial inclusion and when we talk about what you can actually do once you have access, you want to imagine it in the sense that can a farmer in Omahaike region, you know, access affordable credit to advance their business? Can an SME, you know, access working capital right now, even though they have an account? And that's why we need to be very careful about, cautious around the discussion. So as to not substitute financial inclusion for economic opportunity. Because you can have an account, but what you do with the account, if you do not have a sustainable job or income, you know, if you do not have a business opportunity, you will not be able to take advantage of the opportunities, the funding opportunities that, you know, the debates are now coming in. But even if you look at it from a availability of funding, right, there are a number of structural barriers still that limit people from, or individuals from, accessing the funds. So financial inclusion plays in the middle. Mm-hmm. You try to create awareness for policymakers, I mean, for financial institutions to be able to develop unique products. They are supposed to now use this data that came out yesterday from the financial inclusion survey and really understand where are the gaps, where are the challenges, and sort of deliberately tailor financial products that meet the needs of Namibians. So if we are looking at the data and we are seeing a large number of individuals earn 2,000 and less, can an individual access a financial products with that? You understand? So now they need to use that information to look at how we can tailor. But even as policymakers, we now need to be deliberate to say we have things such as the National Youth Fund, for example. How do we deliberately design such initiatives so that they can help address the economic problems? We now need to create economic opportunities through education, through making initiatives available, and also now raising awareness so that we really inculcate that entrepreneurial culture within our the Namibian populace, so that they're able to take advantage and make meaningful use of the excess that is being made available.
No, it's quite a very good thing, because you know, data's they are showing, and the fact that you said financial inclusion allow us to get into the room. Now that we are into the room, but we are not in the room equally accepted. You realize that I see a lot of data's from Bank of Namibia and and also NSA. When we are getting into the room, let's say we are at 2035, we are at 98% of financial inclusion. What you would want to see as a senior an economist, and you have done a lot of research, bigger institution as a BON, everybody's looking not only to you, but also your team to say we are in 2035, for example, we are at 98% financial inclusion. What other sectors, and I want you to point them out, you think you really want to see that they can assist us not only to be in the room, but to be in the room happy with, you know, access to finance, and also aspect of, you know, reducing this gap of economic inequality.
Look, this conversation is quite topical. It's a hot one. And look, I will not dive into the sectors per se, but look at what's happening currently. I think everybody's trying to be deliberate. And our efforts are anchored within the financial sector transformation strategy. And in there, we've moved beyond conventional targeting just your normal SMEs. For example, we did a diagnostic last year on the informality, on the informal sector, and we found that 54% of Namibians are currently employed in the informal sector. So we deliberately bring these statistics out so that policymakers, financial institutions can really look at how to come and help the financial sector solve the problem. So how do we come together? We are looking at issues of inclusive green finance, for example. How do we use finance to become more adaptable and resilient to climate shock and economic, I mean, climate changes and so forth. So there's a number of things that are coming in at play. We have digital transformation. You have instant payment coming in with a YME product that's coming in. All of this are an ecosystem that we are trying to build that involves fintech, that involves green finance, sustainable finance. We are looking at working together with development institutions, development partners, your UN institutions, your GIZ, they're all coming to the party to really look at how we can not just do more research, but also maybe pilot funding pilots, testing, and you know what you do in your innovation, in your innovation hub. And one thing that the two regulators have done that I'm really proud of is that they have introduced regulatory sandboxes. So if you go to NAMFISA, if you go to the Bank of Namibia, they are cultivating a culture of innovation where we are testing now to see products that can potentially come in and also help us solve these problems. But I am very, very careful when I talk about economic opportunities and economic problems, because I know that there is no one solution to solving the problem. It has to be an ecosystem approach. And we really have to look at the structural barriers that exist within our economy when it comes to the challenges of access to finance.
Indeed. There were callers that want to engage with you. Just before we go to the aspect of the gender part, maybe just to indicate, to say, you can engage us at 0832 880 1 or 83 288 401. We are in the studio with Ms. Cecilia Nekwaya Okafu. She's a senior economist and is also a focal point for, you know, Alliance for Financial Inclusion, and also to look at the recent report, and also we want to get into. And you mentioned a very good thing that we are in the room, and it's quite good. But let's look at the gender. It seems like I don't say you were only advocating for your for your counterparts. Why women are quite you know, banked, or they have access to financial services compared to men? Is it a gender issue, or is it the issue just of numbers? What is the reason behind that?
Sure, that's an interesting question. It's a question that I interrogate quite a lot. Yeah. And like you rightly introduced, I currently serve as the gender focal point for the Alliance for Financial Inclusion as a financial inclusion data working group. So we're looking at data and impact in that working group. So one of the things that we're always looking at, we're deliberately driving this issue of gender financial inclusion, and more so because when you look at the gaps in gender, I mean, in financial inclusion, we are looking at how the differences between how men and women access and use financial services, right?
Yeah.
And historically, this gap has disadvantaged women. I mean, globally, women, I think 745 million women globally are financially excluded. So the gender gap has been narrowing, and it is because of deliberate policy interventions, especially if you look at the role of the Alliance of Financial Inclusion plays in coming up with frameworks and so forth. Now, for Namibia specifically, fortunately, I think we have always been, the gap has always been in favor of women.
Yeah.
From the previous survey, financial inclusion survey, women were still more included than men.
Yeah.
And it's something worth celebrating, because Namibia, as small as we are, we have been able to achieve something that the global world, to tackle a problem that the global community is struggling to solve, right? So it's something worth celebrating.
Yeah.
And I would want to pause and celebrate the wins.
Yeah.
But I also am interested in looking at, yes, it's in favor of women in terms of banked and in terms of financial services. And we are looking at indicators, right? But it doesn't necessarily tell us that women have more economic opportunities.
Yeah.
They have more businesses. They have more assets. These are things that we still need to interrogate in terms of gender access and gender gaps. But as we celebrate these opportunities and we interrogate what this really, really translates to, what it means for Namibian women, there's now this new conversations and questions around, oh, we the boy child.
Yeah,
we need to empower the boy child. We need to empower the boy child. But we are not going to pause and say, okay, now that we have achieved greater financial inclusion of women, let's shift the focus or the attention to men.
Yeah.
We need to understand, who are the men that are excluded? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
How are they excluded? In what are those indicators in terms of exclusion? Because if you're looking at banking rate, maybe they do not have interest in, and it's, I don't want to open a debate, but it's important for us to really look at the data and understand, what does this data mean?
Mm-hmm.
What are the other opportunities that are probably available for men that women don't have, that men are taking advantage of? What is the data telling us? So we are celebrating the opportunity to have closed or narrowed the gender gap, and we are inviting and moving the conversation to understanding why men are lagging behind, so that we can craft the right policies. But I want to credit Namibia, because Namibia has not only been deliberate in ensuring or coming up with interventions to ensure women are financially included. We have been deliberate in ensuring that women are economic participants, active participants. I mean, if you look at the representation of women in boards currently, in parliament, everywhere, we're seeing a lot of participation coming from women, and Namibia has been deliberate in its policies that favor women participation. So it could largely be attributed to the policies that we have implemented over the years, or it could largely be attributed to the fact that women are more than men in Namibia. I mean, that's what that was the outcome of the previous census.
It's a good thing that you brought that conversation, particularly when it comes to economic affairs. It's the same thing also when you look at the corporate affairs, but there's also something that it's interesting that the president has raised to say, apart from being women, we also look at capacity to say they are also capable women. Mm. You see somebody who was running an institution, then you put a lady there, yeah. The things are thriving.
Yeah.
But also to look at the aspect that we are not competing, we are not in competition, but yeah. We want to get into particular when it comes to national development. Now, before we look at other sector, is your role as a focal point for gender?
Mm.
What other programs are you looking into, and what are you busy working with, particularly looking at the financial sector?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we are trying to do now is obviously we came up with a framework from the supply side.
Yeah.
Where so you know that we've implemented a financial sector strategy. We measure and we monitor the implementation of that strategy.
Your caller is here.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes, I have a question for Miss Cecilia.
Are you able to hear?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Hello?
You can even just come in for now. Okay. Just hold on. Just go. Yeah.
Hello?
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 Yes.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question about financial inclusion.
Okay.
Yes, so my question is, in the year of 2026, why is financial inclusion something we still, for lack of a better term, celebrate? I mean, is it not a common thing now for people to have access to financial services? Mm. I mean, we have people like you mentioned in places like East Africa, they're accessing services without having smartphones. So should the conversation not be about how much is in the bank account instead of do you have a bank account or not?
No, that's a very, very interesting question, actually, and it's an interesting way to look at it. So financial inclusion is not just about having access to a bank account, right? By definition, financial inclusion means being able to access, use your financial service in a manner that is affordable and convenient. So for Namibia, because of the nature and the setup of our market, we are still celebrating, yes, access to an account, be it a bank account or mobile money account or wallet, or because it's still new to where we are. And in terms of the nature of the products that we have, they are largely focused banking concentrated financial products, right? So we are still moving to, and that's the question that David has been trying to get me to answer around impact, because we are now moving to getting into the door, and then once you are in the door, you're now able to have a wide range of financial services. So are you able to save on your account? And then the conversation comes to, do you have enough money to save in your bank account or in your mobile money account or your wallet? So the question around the economics of financial inclusion. So yes, we are celebrating access. We are celebrating the improvements that we have made in being able to, our financial sector being able to provide convenient and affordable financial services, looking at the uptake of the products. And then we're now going to now look deeper into the statistics to say, okay, I think most of the numbers that came out yesterday refer to usage, 83% or 84% of individuals transact or make use of transactions largely when it comes to financial services, and very few of them, I think second to that, I think 74% save. So we are not very far from looking at the amount of money that you have in your bank account or in your wallet account and what you're able to do with that account. We're not very far from that. I think the data is there. It's really just showing us how much of individuals are able to walk into a room. And the distinction that I brought in around us being able to achieve this with a very not well-developed mobile money ecosystem is that a lot of countries, as you mentioned, especially in the East and the West, have large mobile money ecosystems very, very well developed, and you're able to save on your mobile money wallet. You're able to apply for a loan via your mobile money, and we are not even there yet, right? So we are able to have a good financial inclusion rate, probably even higher than a lot of these countries that are still having an active mobile money economy. We've been able to achieve a good financial inclusion rate with our current limited financial services. So that speaks to progress, but it also means that there is opportunities if the ecosystem develops, if we implement the frameworks that we are currently implementing with your instant payments, with your fintech, if we develop the mobile money ecosystem and we are able to advance to making meaningful usage of financial services, how much more will our financial inclusion rate improve?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's go to a short commercial break and come back shortly. I'm in the studio with Ms. Cecilia Nekwaya. She took her own time and also to come to talk to us. But just before we go to a short commercial break, I want also to speak to my fellow men to say, what may it explain the lower level of banking of financial inclusion among men? What should policymakers do and financial institutions do to ensure that efforts to empower women, you know, do not leave one group behind? Because, you know, Namibia, and you mentioned something very interesting to say, we are ahead of a lot of countries and in a lot of policies, and one of them is affirmative action.
Mm.
But although we are not, in terms of financial inclusion, now we are not seeing the immediate product, to me it's indicating that once you have all these things standing, we overtake a lot of countries when we sort out our other problems. But I want you to be with that question, especially when it comes to fellow men.
Mm.
I don't want us to come and again say, boy child is also left out when it comes to other things.
Yeah.
Because we are already speaking about mental health and other things, but also not for us to become victims. I'm not into this thing to say, no, the other one is left. But what can be done? Policymakers and also fellow men to say, guys, we speak about financial inclusion and Namibia is moving. Let's just go to a short commercial break and come back shortly.
Excellent.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge kwa tafanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
Eagle No matter itself. Where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something.
Yeah, we are with Ms. Cecilia Nekwaya Okafor. Ms. Cecilia, the gender part, what are the people of my gender need to know? What policymakers need to do? How should we make sure that our development does not really impact the other gender? And I also understand that if you are a gender focal point, you are not only for women, you are for all of us.
For all genders.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how can we deal with that?
Look, that's an interesting question, and I was hoping that you'd actually even open up the lines so that we can understand. Because from a policymaker's point of view, and even from where I sit within the gender inclusive finance space, we are trying to understand what the data is telling us.
Yeah.
So first of all, I would want to understand, I would like to delve deeper into the statistics from NSA and understand who are the men that are excluded, right? In what, is it your informal workers?
Yeah.
Is it your salaried workers? You understand? And is it an exclusion? Because now we are talking about being banked at banking rate.
Yeah.
Is it an exclusion of they are not included within the banking space? Maybe they don't have a bank account, a formal bank account, but they have another informal non-bank account, or they have other ways. Because what you are measuring is access to your bank, but then there's also the formal access, the informal access, where you would have seen an interesting figure that came out also from the survey that said, I think about 43% of salaried employees or earners still receive their money in cash. You understand? So if you are looking at an excess bank rate, the one who receives their money in cash could be the men. But I would not know that as I sit here. So we need to, we really need to delve deeper into the data and understand. Once we understand, I think we will be deliberate. If it's a lack of awareness issue, that we can easily solve for through the FLI or other education and awareness campaigns. But if it's a lack of interest issue, then we need to have a conversation with the financial service providers and say, okay, are your products not attracting a certain, you know, gender? Are we not being deliberate? Maybe we need to be more deliberate. Like, for example, in other countries, you find within the insurance space, they will probably come up with a an insurance product tailored to the unique needs of women. You understand? So would we need to take the same route, come up with a product that is tailored to the unique needs of men?
Yeah.
Is that where we are moving to? So, but we really all need to be deliberate and look at the data and see what the data is telling us.
Indeed. Yeah. Now let us look at financial capability, and just before the last question, and also before I let you go due to time, you are a principal economist working in the financial sector development. Do you think increased financial inclusion must now be meshed with by greater financial capability and responsibility, and also maybe to look at that to say, as more Namibians now gain access to credit, digital payment, what need to change to ensure that we use these services safely and responsibly? Maybe just to end to that also. Maybe you can also link in the aspect of the content of financial literacy. I think I asked you that question, I think the previous time, to say what we need to do new, because we have been embarking on that, and it's also part of your strategy to say financial literacy is also needed.
Yeah.
And maybe we can just link that into this question.
So to answer your first question, I think it's very, very important that, and when we look at financial inclusion, we are looking at access, we are looking at literacy, and then we are looking at protection.
Indeed.
So it's all encompassed, right? So we are looking at, we need to be very deliberate as we move towards bringing more people into the door. What bringing more people into the door means, you're going to various areas, demographics, geographical space. I mean, people within with lower literacy, and you are bringing them into the formal financial system. And now you also need to then expose them to education. You need to make them aware of the products as you are bringing them into the door. Then you need to make them aware of how to use these products responsibly, and then also educate them about their rights, but at the same time have mechanisms in place to protect them, where they can air their grievances and so forth. So as Namibia, I love the way that we have been implementing our financial inclusion policies. We have not divorced literacy and consumer protection from access. We have been working this three as trinity. We have been looking at it almost like as a trinity approach. And like you said, we've come up with, we have a financial literacy initiative under the Ministry of Finance that's actively educating consumers about their rights and engaging them around financial products. But then you you would also see that the regulators have also become very vocal. Mm. If you see the work that NAMFISA is doing with their public education campaigns, going out there educating consumers about not just the policies that are coming out in terms of the bills, what it means, mm. how it translates, but also just knowing their rights and how they can actively participate and how they can air their grievances and so forth. So those activities, plus what the Bank of Namibia is doing, mm. is very, very important. Mm. But now the challenge that's coming in, and if you look at the data as well, mm. you would see that I think 91% of urban population is included, compared to I think 70-something, or is it, yeah, 70-something of the rural, mm. which means the gap between urban and rural mm. is still mm. persisting, mm-hmm. right? Mm. And that, with what we are pursuing now with digital financial services, mm-hmm. brings in a new challenge. Mm-hmm. It means that we now need to be more deliberate and probably even much more aggressive in terms of how we, and urgent in how we educate our consumers. Mm-hmm. And then looking at content. I was in Zimbabwe yeah. last year,
yeah.
and the content, the nature of content that mm. they employ in financial education is mm. quite rich.
Uh-huh.
It's not just, it goes beyond, it's drama. It's it. They are including your arts, your mm-hmm. community. You understand. Mm-hmm. So it's quite engaging. It's tailored to different audiences, and that's where we are moving to as well. We need to look at not just, you know, looking at your traditional textbooks, content in, yeah. in paper nature,
mm.
a public awareness where you are sitting there with a microphone and you are yeah. talking to the audience. But yeah. we need to probably start engaging much deeper. And also what I like from this particular survey is that it was conducted in a manner that also looked at financial capability. I've not delved into that yeah, section yeah. of the data yet yeah, to yeah. understand yeah. the financial capability rate of Namibians mm. and how they are with their literacy, financial literacy.
Mm.
I think that is something that we also need to draw attention to.
Indeed.
So that we can understand how much Namibians are lagging behind, or where are we.
Mm.
The previous financial literacy rate of 2017 stood at 54%. Where is it now?
Yeah.
And where are the gaps, especially even in gender? That's
yeah.
what I would advocate for.
Yeah, yeah.
Between men and women in terms of financial literacy
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
And urban and rural and those issues. Yeah.
No, indeed. Thank you, Mr. Siria. Just last three to look at. I want to congratulate not only you, but your institution too, and also other partners in the financial sector. One of the things that we appreciate these days, especially from the media, is data. We mm-hmm. see the numbers are coming out,
yeah.
but we still need more data simplified to the people.
Yeah.
Now, if there is one thing that you don't want to leave out, because we are moving somewhere. We are going to 2030.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ambitions out there.
Mm.
There are challenges that are within and are not within our control. If there's mm. something that you really don't want to leave out, particularly from where you are standing as an economist, mm. just one advice to Namibians,
mm.
either it's young people, either it's those who are in business,
mm.
especially to reach, I don't want to say 100% of our goals, maybe understandable targets
yeah.
of what we want to get into. What is that message that you have?
I thank you very much for that question.
Mm.
So as I said, I'm currently on maternity leave, and I've been consuming a lot of content, development content, psychology.
Yeah.
And one thing that I learned
yeah.
during this period is the term agency.
Yeah.
And it's having the attitude of not just growth mindset, but being able to be part of the decisions that about your life,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say this, I mean the policy, from the policy side, I know policy has received a lot of backlash,
yeah.
but we have done a lot
for
not just in terms of financial, when we look at financial inclusion, especially for SMEs, we've mm. come up with strategies, initiatives.
Yeah.
We have an SME financing strategy
mm-hmm.
that provides collateral. We have a mentoring and coaching facility.
Mm.
We have a venture capital fund. There's a financial literacy initiative.
Mm.
You have, you know, the National Youth Development Fund for
mm-hmm.
example. There's quite a lot. Even financial institutions
mm.
over the years have mm. been encouraged to come up with SME units
mm-hmm.
within there. And all financial institutions currently have SME units.
Yeah.
And we're looking at requirements, we're looking at collateral. So from a policy and industry point of view, I think we've done not everything that we needed to do,
yeah.
but we have done a lot.
Yeah.
From the entrepreneur side as well,
mm.
I would then come back to that agency, having an agency in life.
Mm.
And we need to be able to create opportunities,
mm,
to be able to tap into the opportunities that are available.
Mm-hmm.
They say you can take a horse to the river,
mm,
or to the pond, but you cannot force it to drink, right?
Mm.
A lot of us, I think, from where I sit,
yeah,
from the way I look at entrepreneurship, the way I look at SME, we, mm, have very good ideas. There are very good SMEs. I need to credit that.
Yeah.
But there are also those who were just developed from a, you know, I need to make something. I saw somebody doing something and the numbers are to fly by night. You know, we are not implementing the right systems, mm-hmm, intentionality in, mm-hmm, our business. And I'm a business owner as well.
Mm-hmm.
I can attest to the lessons that I've learned,
mm-hmm,
from being an SME and being a policymaker. Mm-hmm. I'm able to really see those gaps closely to say that sometimes we are not ready.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the systems in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes maybe the financial institutions also don't have the right products.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be able to talk to each other and with what you said about where we are sitting with the data, we are trying to bring out as much data as, mm-hmm, possible.
Mm.
We are trying to bring out data on, shed light on who's in the informal sector. What is the nature,
mm,
of informal businesses? We know that a large percent of them are women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And they are struggling to get access to credit. Their biggest need is access to credit, mm-hmm, in order to grow their business. But,
mm,
we know that they don't have their financials in order.
Mm.
Their books are not in order.
Mm.
You know, the literacy element.
Mm.
And then if you look at business developers, I think that is where we are missing it.
Indeed.
We're lacking a market of business developers that can really work, mentors and coaches that have experience that can practically work to strengthen businesses. I think that's the gap.
Mm.
But from the agency part, I think if we can have an agency, be inspired and want to take advantage of the opportunities meaningfully, not so that I can drive the latest car tomorrow,
yeah,
or live in the biggest house and show off to my friends,
but
really trying to solve that problem.
Indeed.
And it will show up in the amount of money that you're able to save as a business. So that data sits with banks,
mm-hmm,
right? The amount of money that's flowing into your account. Do you have an account,
mm-hmm,
for example, as a business owner, those types of things. So I think a lot still needs to change,
yeah,
but it starts with us. There's, indeed, that agency that we need to probably adopt. And then there's the gap in the market,
mm,
from not having sufficient qualified, experienced business developers that, mm, can really work with the market,
yeah,
to train them and get them to that point. And then, of course, the financial institutions and policymakers still need to study,
mm,
and the market,
mm,
and really tailor the products to the needs of the market. We need to move, mm, in sync.
Uh-huh.
Currently, everyone is doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, so, indeed. You are speaking like one of, I was speaking to one of the economists. I think economists, you are well positioned today. and he was also indicating to say, just to look at the agency to say, us, we also have to blame.
Mm.
We have the system, where there are good things that are out there, but we are not moving. But due to time, and it's not our last engagement, but I'll give you time, as what you've mentioned, but we'll still continue engaging. I just want to thank you for taking this time. I know you are on leave, but this was really necessary, especially to look at that sector. And continue doing what you are doing. And thank you very much.
Thank you, David. This was an important conversation, a very exciting one.
All right. Bye-bye.